First reading this morning is in the Pew Bible Old Testament section on page 312, but it's also printed in your service booklets. It's from 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 28 to 40. King David answered, "Summon Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has saved my life from every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, your son Solomon shall succeed me as king, and he shall sit on my throne in my place. So will I do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and did obeisance to the king and said, "May my lord King David live forever." King David said, "Summon to me the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada." When they came before the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your lord, and have my son Solomon ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. There let the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' You shall go up following him. Let him enter and sit on my throne. He shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, answered the king, "Amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, so ordain. As the Lord has been with my lord the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David." So the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and led him to Gihon. There the priest Zadok took the horn of oil from the tent, and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people went up following him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth quaked at the noise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we stand, shall we pray? Father, this morning we thank you for the truth of your word to us. We thank you that it's precious beyond price. Lord, give us the ears to hear your word and strengthen us to live for you in this world. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Well, this morning we're going to be looking at our Old Testament reading, that wonderful reading from 1 Kings chapter 1, and it's pages 3 and 4 of our order of service. And I'm sure, like millions of others, you were glued to your television sets yesterday watching the extraordinary service of the coronation from Westminster Abbey. Maybe you were spotting the familiar faces in the congregation as the Abbey filled up. 2,200 people from 203 different countries, including 90 heads of state. Maybe you enjoyed seeing the massed ranks of the armed forces in procession. Maybe you laughed as you saw Prince Louis yawning his way through the service. You were impressed with Penny Mordaunt spending most of her service holding aloft heavy swords of state. It was impressive. And of course, there were several changes to that service compared to the coronation service of the Queen in 1953. For a start, it was much shorter. The service in 1953 went over 3 hours in length. But of course, there was also a different introduction to the service. A young person, a chorister from the Chapel Royal, said these words at the very beginning. "Your Majesty, as children of the Kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." And the King responded, "In his name and after his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." And in his notes to the service, the Archbishop of Canterbury explained these words. This new inclusion marks the tone of the service from its beginning. The magnificence and beauty of the processions and costumes is a great celebration of tradition and joy. But behind the pageantry lies another message, which the words and ceremonies to come will illustrate. Our King commits himself, through prayers and oaths, to follow the Lord he serves in a life of loving service in his role as monarch. Isn't that a brilliant introduction to what that coronation service was all about? Behind all the trappings of ceremony and pomp lies an invitation to serve others. Charles III will be a monarch serving nation and commonwealth. He will serve everyone, no matter their political views, whether they are monarchist or republican. And he consciously states that he wants to follow in the steps of Jesus, the servant king. And that's why we commit ourselves today to praying for our king, that the words and promises of the coronation would be lived out throughout his life. None of us will ever experience the pressures and ordeals of being a monarch, of a life under constant scrutiny and media intrusion, of living in the full glare of billions of onlookers, a truly public figure, bearing the weight of history, royal tradition, duty, and expectation. None of us will ever understand the pressure that that is. Our King did not choose this unique form of public duty. He was born into it, and he deserves our prayers today. A few years ago, I visited the Tower of London to see the Crown Jewels, and they are a hugely impressive sight. I don't know if you've been there recently, but there's a little travelator, so you can't just stand there watching because you get moved along. And then you have to join the back of the travelator and join it all again. It is an impressive sight. And of course, they're worth a staggering amount in and of themselves. Some of the biggest diamonds in the world. Thousands of precious jewels and many pounds of pure gold. But of course, they symbolize much more. King Charles was handed the sovereign's orb, originally made for Charles II in 1661. If you like details, it is 27.5 centimeters in diameter and weighs 1.32 kilos, more than 600 jewels and pearls. But of course, the orb is a picture of the world with a cross on top. It symbolizes the rule and the reign of Christ Jesus over all things. And the king received it with these words from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Receive this orb set under the cross, and remember always the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing Colossians chapter 1, writes about the authority of Jesus. In him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And I made the point that our king's reign is seen in the light, in the greater reign of Jesus the King. Our king's authority is ultimately not conferred by parliament or even by fact of inheritance from his mother. The king's authority is delegated from God, to whom he is accountable and answerable. And did you see when the scepters get given to him? The first is known as the rod of equity and mercy, with a dove on top, symbolizing the Holy Spirit who sanctifies, guides, and directs. The other scepter the king was given has a cross on top, and together they symbolize both temporal and spiritual power and authority. And the archbishop said these words, receive the holy scepter, the ensign of kingly power and justice, and the rod of equity and mercy, a symbol of covenant and peace. May the Spirit of the Lord, which anointed Jesus at his baptism, so anoint you this day, that you may exercise authority with wisdom and direct your counsels with grace, that by your service and ministry to all your people, justice and mercy may be seen in all the earth, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And you see, don't we want that type of government in this world? Don't we want somebody to rule with real power and authority, but also with justice and compassion? Is that not what we yearn for in this world? When we see the ongoing war in Ukraine, when we see Sudan spiraling out of control, aren't we once again thankful for the stability and prosperity of this nation? Aren't we grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country? For many of us, I think the monarchy is a symbol of stability and tradition, of a continuity with the past in a fast-changing world. But you know, before the investiture with all those wonderful golden robes, before the crown jewels were handed to him, before the crowning, there was a ceremony so sacred and precious that it was kept from the view of the cameras and the global audience of billions. It was the part of the coronation service called the anointing. From ancient times, monarchs would have been anointed with oil to symbolize divine blessing being poured over them. It was that solemn moment that the king or queen was seen to be chosen and blessed by God themselves. And of course, it goes right back 3,000 years to the Old Testament when King Solomon was made king of ancient Israel, the chosen people of God. And that's the subject of our Old Testament reading this morning. At this point of history, King David was an old and frail man. The glory days of David as a bold, charismatic leader, slaying Goliath, was long gone. Now he's a lame duck monarch, and we have seen the chaos of a national crisis, for David would not announce who would succeed him as king. And so the nation was in chaos. The different rivals were jockeying for position in the royal court. Adonijah, well, he was a son of David and was seen by many as a favorite. But a few brave souls took it upon themselves to do something and to get other people to act. So Nathan the prophet and Zadok the priest, they went to David and encouraged him, "You must name your successor." And they succeeded. King David stopped dithering and was galvanized into action. He chose Solomon. That would be the son who would be king of Israel. And so Nathan and Zadok, they got Solomon to ride on King David's mule, a sign of royal favor. They took him to a place called Gihon, where a spring provided fresh water for all the people of Jerusalem. And what could be a more appropriate place for a coronation than a place of precious water, bringing new life, refreshment, and hope for the whole nation? So Zadok the priest, he carefully took a horn full of oil and poured it on the head of Solomon. And then the people burst out in praise and national jubilation. We're told they blew the trumpet and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And it's no surprise that Handel chose those special words to make into his famous anthem, Zadok the Priest. It was originally written for the coronation of George II in 1727 and has been used at every coronation since. And the anthem is beginning to draw those dots, joining together the sacred history of Israel in the Bible and the British monarchy. As Solomon was chosen and anointed as king, so too is the British monarch. That is the story that has been told. Now, back in March, the oil used at the coronation was consecrated at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. The oil had been created using olives harvested from two groves in the Mount of Olives, and the olives were pressed just outside Bethlehem. And again, the Archbishop of Canterbury said this, "Since beginning the planning for the coronation, my desire has been for a new coronation oil to be produced using olive oil from the Mount of Olives. This demonstrates the deep historic link between the coronation, the Bible, and the Holy Land. From ancient kings through to the present day, monarchs have been anointed with oil from the sacred place. And as we prepare to anoint the king and the queen consort, I pray that they would be guided and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And behind the screens, the Archbishop of Canterbury anointed the king three times, on his hands, on his breast, and on his head. And the Archbishop said, "And as Solomon was anointed king by Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, so may you be anointed, blessed, and consecrated king over the peoples, whom the Lord your God has given you to rule and govern." And then in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. It was so sacred, the anointing, we were not allowed to see it. And the interesting thing is this. When the oil was poured over the head of that king of Israel, that whole process of anointing comes to symbolize the whole person themselves. The prophets foretold of one who would come, who would rule forever the throne of David, and his reign would never end. And this coming king was called the Anointed One. In Hebrew, Messiah. In Greek, Christ. The idea of anointing is so strong, it becomes the very title of Jesus' Son. Jesus the Son. And as the oil of gladness was poured over the ancient kings of Israel, so the Holy Spirit is poured out on Jesus at his baptism, and as we pray for our King today. Don't we all know that as Christians, every day we need the strength and the grace of God to live the life that God has called us to? We all know that we need sins forgiven and the promise of a new life in Jesus. In his sermon, the Archbishop said that the throne of Christ was a cross. His crown was made of thorns. His regalia were the wounds that pierced his body. That is the servant king that we all need to draw close to today. In 1952, just a few months before her own coronation, a very young Queen Elizabeth asked the people of the Commonwealth these words: "Pray that God would give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, that I may faithfully serve you all the days of my life." And I think God answered the prayers of our Queen, and I pray that also he would answer the prayers of our King, that he too would know God's wisdom and strength throughout his reign. Now, none of us know what challenges our nation will face in the months and years ahead. None of us know what the King and Queen and the rest of the royal family will have to deal with in the coming months. But I do know this. In our first hymn, we sang these words: "All my hope on God is founded. He doth still my trust renew. Me through change and chance he guideth, only good and only true." And I pray that together with our King and Queen, we may put our hope and trust in the Lord God, and we too would follow Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve. May we follow that Jesus today and every day. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.